Tonight's study, again, the divine order and creation in scriptures. This is part two, and I've titled it, the subtitle is Christ is not divided. God's elect endure today in seeing the invisible God by the faith of Christ. And in the realm of numbers, zero is a good representation of the invisibility of God in the sense that physically zero cannot be divided. And spiritually, God and Christ are not divided. Paul asked that question, is Christ divided? 1 Corinthians 1:13. Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Zero is not visible or divisible, but it certainly has the power to change the landscape of a number very quickly, just as the faith of Christ can in the lives of true believers. Faith, like the number zero, is not seen. And yet, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 1 John 2, verse 24 and 25, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. And there's Hebrews 11:1 again. This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 17, verse 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, our hope of glory within that power that we have confidence in and that we pray that we will always be granted that confidence and never cast it away. The evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. In Matthew 25:25, we read of the fearful and unbelieving servant who we all start off as, who was a shadow of the truth that our earthly works are not accompanied with the faith of Christ and the love of God, and therefore cannot drive out fear, leaving our talents buried in the earth as opposed to being laid up in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Those works that are ordained of God for his children are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and are tried in the fire today to the glory of God. So Hebrews 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And there's another component, Romans 5:5, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Matthew 25, verse 25, and I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there you have that is thine. Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth. And that's the connection we're making here. His talent was hid in the earth. And that's the fearful state, operating, doing many wonderful works, even, but having this unhealthy fear, this unnatural fear. So there's a negative and positive fear. We fear God, but not fearing men. And this is what this is about. This is about doing works to be seen of men, blowing their trumpet in the streets, like Christ said, and receiving a reward. He says they have their reward. But our work is done quietly. We know that God's called us to recognize that, to be the light of the world, but to understand that he sees us and he knows what we're doing and he's prepared those works for us. So those are the works that we're asking him to reveal and to work in us. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. 1 Timothy 6, verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. 1 Corinthians 3:14. that they may lay hold on eternal life. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So that's the work that God's given the body of Christ to do, of course, and it's built upon Christ, and it's a tried work. And if it endures the trials and the fiery trials that God's called us unto, then those works will manifest. Fruit will be born. That it is one talent that is buried and given back to God that has no zero connected with it in Matthew 25, 25, verse 25. However, the productive fruit that is brought forth has a zero in each measure of productivity, representing what God has done in us through Christ, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Even that which the one servant had is taken from him and given to the one who had more talents and was spiritually bearing fruit, to demonstrate that every talent must be founded on Christ. The talents or gifts that God gives his children must be accompanied with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, even that which we seem to have will be taken and given to someone else. That is what this verse in Revelation is reminding us, and results from our being found with our own righteousness and not that of Christ. Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, which is Christ. He is our crown. That no man take your crown. Philippians 3:9. And the crown is the righteousness of Christ, his righteousness, not our own, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. That's a different crown. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And speaking of crowns, when Paul talked about the Olympians, running for a crown, that is the earthly crown. So a great amount of effort can be put into obtaining, and he was using them as an example of how we should be fighting a good fight of faith to obtain to the spiritual. But we work as if it depends upon us, like an athlete. But we acknowledge that it's Christ who's working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he'll give us whatever strength we need, whatever is required. He's going to do that. And some of us more, some of us less, but he's going to accomplish this work through the body of Christ. Judgment that is upon God's people, Matthew 13, verse 8 now, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30-fold. So they have these numbers, 100 with 2 zeros, 60 with one, and 30 with one. Judgment that is upon God's people today is what is needed in order to bring forth spiritual fruit. Some 100, some 60, and 30, which adds up to 190. And it is one workmanship that is being judged. That's the nine today. Our flesh, which is 60, 6 times 10, that is going through a process. That's the 3 times 10, which is the 30, that is accompanied with pruning that makes it possible for us to scale that spiritual productivity or receive the increase that comes from God alone. So it is a parable telling us what God will do through each one of us, how much we produce and what he has determined. That's of the Lord, but we all follow this pattern. And so there's something written there for us to recognize. Matthew 25, verse 29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. John 15, verse 2 to verse 4. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. And of course, that's telling us our hope of glory, the Spirit of God within us, Christ doing the work. But he's also telling us to abide in me like a plant. It takes time. We need to possess our souls patiently and wait on the Lord and trust him through the trials and through the direction that he's taking our life to, for growth for the body. The positive use of the number zero is a shadow of the truth that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How we come to see him who is invisible is by putting off the carnal mind, which takes the life of Christ working in us to accomplish this as our faith is tried and becomes very precious via the trials. The type and shadow of this process is read here in Hebrews. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Egypt just represents sin or the flesh, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So going back to Matthew 25, this is what he feared. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, you have that is thine. Isaiah 13, verse 6, verse 12, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. You notice he says, I will. It's a work of the Lord. If God's doing that in this age in our lives, then he says, think it not strange concerning that fiery trial that we need. Those trials are needed to purify the mind of Christ. God can and does work through Christ to change the spiritual landscape in our lives as we go through afflictions, persecutions, and much tribulation that are required to put off our flesh. 2 Thessalonians 1:5, a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And our trials make us weak at times. They debilitate us. We don't understand why the storms come. And then we come to our senses and we see the Lord working in the midst of it. So he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So much tribulation that are required to put off our flesh, making it possible for us to see or know God and Christ. Signs and wonders are for the unbelieving, who long after the loaves and fishes, the visible miracles that God says are for the unbelieving. Eternal life comes to those who are seeking the invisible God, those who are blessed to acknowledge that this life is a vapor that is passing, and that we are in constant need of the grace and faith of God, which is a gift from him, given to those who are being saved in this age. Hebrews 11, verse 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt. It takes the faith of Christ, of course. It took the faith of Christ, but it was typical faith at that time to forsake Egypt. But now we are forsaking Egypt within the lust of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And of course, Satan would want us to stay in sin, and that's what he's telling us here. We don't have to fear. Because he who is in us is greater than him who is in the world. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Wherefore, tongues are for sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. And it seems like that is probably the most misunderstood scripture in Babylon, because it's just the opposite. Everything's turned around the other way. It's about signs, it's about wonders, it's about those things. And that's, God says, a strong delusion. It keeps the beast on the throne because we're not looking at it from the perspective that God wants and blesses us to see. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, grace that chastens us, teaches us to forsake ungodliness and worldly lust, and not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we can't, beat ourselves up and become the Gnostics or those who were asceticism. Don't do this, don't do that. I'm just going to fast myself into the kingdom. It won't happen. It's not that fasting's wrong, because we ought to from time to time, but the spiritual fast is what God's looking for. Ultimately, that we recognize that the Lord's working on our hearts and our minds, and He's able to do that. And that's the miracle of our calling. What we do to get there along the way, more and more I see it. It's just being able to encourage each other on the side and comfort each other with the comfort that the Lord gives us, because our trials are very, very purposeful. We're not going through whatever we go through. Yeah, we go through it for each other, I'm sure we all know that intimately. So don't grow weary in well doing. Galatians 6:9. Don't grow weary, because it's part of the process. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we won't faint if we have the bread of life, God's words. We have a family to pray for, and sometimes it's very difficult, very hard trials, but the Lord will manifest it, and His power will be made known through those trials. The Father is ever present, just as Christ is now, and yet invisible to our physical eyes, unless Christ manifests Himself as He did to His disciples after He was resurrected. That visible way that Christ revealed Himself to His disciples was going to be replaced, replacement theology, with not knowing Christ after the flesh or visibly, but rather in our hearts and minds, having received the Holy Spirit, the hope of glory within. That is why this ultimate warning is given to us in Hebrews, which, if we are granted to hold fast to, we'll see us holding fast to our crown and looking to the author and the finisher of our faith with confidence. Hebrews 12, verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. And of course, our heavens is our minds, our hearts and minds, our relationship, our prayerful relationship, our coming together, and God willing, hearing the voice of God. And as a result, being motivated by the Spirit of God that quickens us to be led by the Spirit, which bears witness that we are, in fact, His children. And if we read Proverbs there too, it talks about the same principle, that through trusting, and this is such an important point in Proverbs, because I used to read that and think, well, that's what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm just going to trust you with all my heart and lean not onto my own understanding. And the truth is, we may want to do that with our whole heart, but the Lord knows that the flesh has to be put off. And that's when we learn to trust, when He gives us these trials. And this is why Paul was saying, I want your power to rest upon me. And I know that we won't naturally trust you. Our flesh will want to go the way that it wants to go. But if we have these trials, we're so blessed, because now we can acknowledge you in all of our ways, and you can direct our path. And we can overcome the vanity of our flesh that wants to be wise in its own eyes. And we can walk through this life with fear, the fear of God, and depart from evil. And of course, the end result will be spiritual health for each one of us, for the body of Christ that we are, the flesh, the bones of Christ. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown. Revelation 3, verse 11. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, everyone who's come and gone, those who are awaiting the first resurrection, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And your patience possess you, your souls. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, And that always makes me think, well, if he was looking for the joy, the Father was providing the joyful revelation and the inspiration that he needed, and he's doing that for us, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. 1 Peter 4:1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And a great promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are, but will with the temptation also make a way to bear, make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So that's a kind of like a very hopeful, because he's telling us, well, roll up your sleeves, work out your own salvation, of course, by God's grace. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until which means the first resurrection. The question is asked, is Christ divided? No, he is not, and could not be, because the Spirit of God given to him without measure was given to him without measure while he was in his flesh. It is when the Spirit moves us or quickens us that we can feel the effect of that substance spoken of in Hebrews 11, verse 1. The positive representation of zero can be seen as the Spirit of God, and the negative representation of zero can be represented by the will of man, which cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Mark 10, verse 18. Jesus said unto him, why call thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Luke 22, verse 42, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup. Is this your will? Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, because he knew he would strengthen him and give him the power he needed to fulfill his will. Either way, God is sovereign over the operation of all numbers, the light and dark, the peace and the evil, and has already determined who is going to fulfill his will on earth as it's done in heaven until our last breath. And that same verse where he says, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And 1 John, that's Luke 22, 42, and 1 John 4, 17, where it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And that was bold, coming before the Father, just having that dialogue, because as he is, so are we in this world. Isaiah 45, verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Matthew 7, verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Zero added to one is one. But visually, if you put zero next to one on the right side, you get the number 10. The first Adam is 10, the flesh, that without God's Spirit is against God, as Adam and Eve were, and all flesh is, that we are called to bring into subjection unto God. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. Adam and Eve were seeing Yahweh, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So they were seeing him physically, not spiritually. And we don't see him with the mind of Christ until the Spirit is given. The grace and truth that we receive through him. The second Adam, who has the Spirit without measure, declares God to us, Christ, the Son of the living God, And yet, we still don't see him or understand the gospel message within until the Holy Spirit is given to us. It is on Pentecost and going forward that what has been revealed to us through Christ's witness during his days when he was in the earth becomes a testimony of his life and power and soundness of mind in the true believers on the earth. And my speech and my preaching, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 to 6. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, being perfected, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We're going to get to both numbers for the first and last atom have a zero beside them, which represents the invisible component that is doing the work in Christ and Adam. The first Adam, and those are the verses that we know, but we'll read this. The first Adam lives and moves and has his being in Christ, as it says in Acts 17, verse 28. For in him we live and move, have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Whether you're converted or not converted, the Lord says he's working all things according to the counsel of his will. And the church, which can do nothing spiritually, except it be in Christ and now connected to the vine, and although nothing of ourselves, are able through Christ to reflect his life on this earth. That's a positive tense, the flesh being used to the glory of God. And these are Christ's words, John chapter 5, verse 30. I can in my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Galatians 6, verses 3 and 4. For if a man think himself to be something, and that's what gets us in trouble, starting to fulfill our will, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work. And the proving of the work is this: we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2, verse 10, Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. It's saying the same thing, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Prove me if I'm not showing you that you're my workmanship, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And of course, none of this is going to happen unless the Father is dragging us to Christ. John 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. John 15, verse 5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So those are those nothings that we need to look at from time to time, just to remind us how God sees us in our walk with Christ and him. The negative and positive numbers in our heavens can be seen as the light and dark, or the peace and evil that God is working in our lives to a glorious end. We start off as that first negative 10, marred in the hand of the potter, creation to become something new as the positive flesh and blood life of Christ replaces our Adamic first man, Adam, thinking, which is carnal. John 6, verse 55 to 57. And this is where a lot of the disciples rejected Christ. They just, that's it. I'm out of here. Fear, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. That's Romans 8:9, that saying the same thing. If the Spirit of God is not within us, we're none of His. In Colossians 1:27, our hope of glory is that His Spirit truly is within us. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. And then this last section, we'll look at the word nothing. In this last section, we'll look at the word nothing in the Bible and see how it correlates with the number zero. In order to be something and not nothing, we need to acknowledge that our own efforts and accomplishments in the earth are nothing and of no value. No matter what they are, they're of no value until we are given to acknowledge that we are His workmanship, who makes us of great value and highly favored in His sight because of our hope of glory within us, who causes us to savor the things of God and not of men. And that's what Christ said. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Matthew 10, verse 31. Fear you not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Many are called, and they're a fold. They're known of God. God watches over them, and He's working with them, but He's not working with them in the way that He's working with the elect, who are being prepared to be kings and priests. Luke 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 1, verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. And Mary is a type of the church. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. The Lord was with her. She was going to give birth to Christ, and we're giving birth, the man-child that we are, with our hope of glory within. That is when we begin to offer our lives a living sacrifice that can only be accepted upon the burnt offering, Jesus Christ, who gives us the power to go without the camp. Hebrews 13:13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. That's like bringing the tithe into the temple, give our whole lives a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Ephesians 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And grace, again, it's by the judgment upon us that makes us accepted unto God, and it's through Christ. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. John 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. John 5, verse 30. I know we read these earlier, but they're so important. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And that's Romans 8, verses 14 to 16, being led by the Spirit. John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that we are pressing toward is reflected in our not being negatively trodden under the foot of men as we resist the devil and cleave to Christ, so that we can overcome all his attempts to destroy the church. It is with the fiery darts of the devil that persecutions are brought upon his body. The church, persecutions that work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose and are experiencing God's love being shed abroad in our hearts. Our old man is trodden underfoot positively for the duration of Christ's ministry within us. And by God's grace and the faith of Jesus Christ, we can endure to the end all said persecutions and be saved. So it's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom, is what this is telling us. And God is showing us we're more than conquerors through Christ. He's saying, yeah, there's going to be persecutions, but I am in the midst of all of it, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail. Matthew 16, verse 18, and I say unto thee, you are Peter. Peter is us. Peter is the church. And upon this rock, Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Colossians 1, verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And that's exactly what we are, the flesh and bones of Christ. Revelation 11, verse 2, but the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. So don't be entangled with the court, with Babylon, with the cares of this world. Pray for God's deliverance from that court and to be focused on the temple, doing good unto all men, but especially unto the household of faith. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. They have a function in our life. They're there to try and test us. They are our own household. Philippians 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Today we're learning of the great power of God that can be manifested in those who are given to humble themselves under his mighty hand, abasing ourselves so that in due time Christ can be exalted within us. What we are promised is that what God has started in us, he will finish through the author and the finisher of our faith. And nothing shall take us out of the hands of our Father or Christ. 1 Peter 5 or 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand, that he may exalt you in due time. Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So we do have to have the mountain in place before it can be removed. And that's the part that we tend to forget. It's like, Lord, why do I have this mountain in my life? Well, because why was the man born blind? To the glory of God. When it's time to move that mountain, it's going. Luke 1, verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke 6, verse 35, but love you your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Christ wasn't hoping for anything, loving his enemies on the cross, as he called us to do, but hoping for nothing again. So what we were talking about this morning, about this verse, how we can give our whole life, and with the mind of Christ, we can give it knowing that people can't pay back. We're indebted to Christ. We can't pay Christ back for what he did for us, and the world can't pay us back for what we've been called to do for them. We're the same as Christ in that regard. But obviously, Christ's sacrifice is infinitely more valuable, because if he hadn't been there to die for us as our head, we couldn't follow suit. But love you your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. And it's such a simple statement, but I struggle with this all the time. People who are unthankful, people who are evil. And then God puts me in remembrance. How did I treat you in your darkest days? Well, he was kind. He was pitiful. John 10, verse 28 and 29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Why? For with God nothing shall be impossible. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Why? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Next week, Lord willing, we'll continue to look at more scriptures that demonstrate how there is a divine order in all of God's physical and spiritual creation. The use of numbers in scriptures play a vital role in revealing that divine order. And there's just so much on the subject, but I'm hoping and praying that the Lord will, help us to unearth things that are maybe obvious, maybe some of the things are not so obvious. I know next week we're going to be talking about fractions and with scriptures showing, the use of fractions and how God has created them. And we know that, like for instance, a third is often about process of judgment. So it's very interesting. A lot of it's been discussed before, but we can revisit these things and be blessed. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. Let all things, the natural and the spiritual, be done decently and in order. Ephesians 1, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, that is to be sealed, according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Romans 8, verse 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good for them, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's speaking of Christ, that's speaking of Christ. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And that's our study. Thank you all for coming out for part two. Appreciate it.